We're holding on Kuftesov Ahmed Bey's. We're about the beginning. We're about the end of the narrow lines, but let's recap a bit. We're in the middle of figuring out, we have different derivations, different limudim, how we know that basar b'chalav is also to eat and also b'hana. We had Rav Ashi's limud that said that we learn it from, because it says, that anytime something was done, which the Torah tells you you're not allowed to do, in this case, cooking them, automatically it's also to eat. And based on another limud, that wherever the Torah tells us that something is also to eat, we have a rule from Rabbi Bohu that wherever the Torah tells us something is also to eat, it's also automatically also b'hana, unless the Torah tells us otherwise, then there you go. And then that led us into a discussion of why loisecha kol te'eva doesn't apply to a number of other cases where a lav was done. Okay, so that was all one limud. We had Rish Lakish, who learned it from the word mevushal in connection with the carbon paste, not just like the carbon paste that was cooked, is also b'hana, so is also the follow. We had Rebbe telling us that you learn it from lo techlenu, which in the context is talking about blood of Silvan Mokdashin, but we're taking it and then applying it to Basal Chalav as well. And then Bahana, we're learning from lo yakadosh and Bnei Yisrael. We had Rebbe Eliezer learning it from lo sechel kol nevela lo silvash of diva chalevim, that you can sell nevela, but not if it's cooked with milk. We had Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, who learned it from the fact that it says, so one of the three times, one of them teaches us that you can't eat them, one that you can't have anah, and one that you can't cook them. And now we're in the middle of Isi Ben Yehuda. So Isi Ben Yehuda had said that basar b'chalav is also, we know, because it says, ki am kodesh asa, you can't cook basar b'chalav because you're a holy nation. It also says, v'anshe kodesh ti'un li, and you're not allowed to eat basar b'chalav t'refa. So therefore, they're both also to eat. So then the question becomes, how do we know it's also b'hana? So we started with that EC started by making a kavachomer. We said, like this, the kavachomer was that Orla, no avera was done by planting the tree, and yet the food of Orla is also b'hana. The basa b'cholav, where an avera was done, because you weren't allowed to cook it, and how much more so it's also b'hana. So then we asked, okay, but on the other hand, Orla did not have a shaka kosher, because there was never a time when this fruit of the first 3 years was mutter. As opposed to over here, where basar b'chalav, the individual basar and chalav were mutter originally, before they were cooked together. And according to Rabbeinu Gershom, not only that, but we also have, even when they're put together in a pot, they still remain mutter until they're actually cooked. Midoraisa, anyway. So that's not a valid proof from Arla. Okay, so we said, so instead we'll prove from chametz for Pesach, because chametz for Pesach had a shaka kosher and it's also b'hana. We said chametz for Pesach, though, you have kares. And then, so then he brought in Kalaya Kerem. Then he brought in Kalaya Kerem, where you have a case where you're not also, there's no Issu Kares for eating Kalaya Kerem, but it's also Bahana, so therefore the same can be true of both of them.
They could be mixed in the same container before you plant.
Well, this is also true, right? They had a Shasta Kosher, right. Well, that's the Gemara is going to deal with later, the question that Kalaya Kerem had a Shasta Kosher. We're going to get to that point later, but first we have to get into some other points.
Isn't that good for us?
Well,
because that was the whole pirch.
No, because actually, no. The point is, the Gemara is going to point out later that Kalaya Kerem did not have a shaka kosher, because on the face of it, when Kalaya Kerem, b'pashtus had only become b'pashtus, the Gemara assumes later that the original plants don't become, the original things that you planted don't become osur, only what grows afterwards, and what grows doesn't have a shaka kosher. So that's going to lead us into another discussion later about what exactly becomes osur in Kalaya Kerem. But first, we have to deal with something else.
And then we're
going to
do
Maimon. Yeah, well, hold on. Okay, so let's start over again, actually, from Lomali Gzera Shava, 8 lines from the end of the narrow lines. The line begins Lomali. Okay, so the question is, Lomali Gzera Shava, why does Isi Ben Yehuda need a Gzera Shava in the first place, between Am Kodesh Ata and Anche Kodesh Diyumi? Why is he called a Kavachomer Me'orla? Why isn't he just used straight out of Kavachomer from Orla? Like this, what was he using? He was using the Gzera Shava for the Isra Achila, and then he was using the Kavachomer from Orla for Isra Hana. Orla is also Achila. So why do you need both a Gzera Shava and then a Kavachomer, which then we end up saying that you have to do the Kavachomer, you have to combine together Orla and Chometz for Pesach and Kalaya Kerem? Why not just start straight out with that rather than needing the Gzera Shava at all? Because Orla, all those three things are also Achila. Let's learn them all by Kavachomer from Orla. Madach Orla, which no Avera was done by planting it, and yet it's also both to eat and to have Hana. Basa B'cholov Shenevda by Avera, so then Basa B'cholov where an Avera was done, because you're not allowed to cook it together. Eina Din should also Bein B'Achila Bein B'Hana. How much more so it should be also both to eat and have Hana. So why is Nina Gzeda Shava for the Achila? The answer is Mishum de Iklamema, because you could slog up that Kavachomer as follows. Prove to the contrary from the cases where a person plowed with an ox and a donkey together, or the case where a person muzzles a cow and threshes with it, where in those cases, the Gemara talked about on Amud Aleph, even though an Aveda was done, nevertheless, they are mutter. We said over there that Rashi learns that the they means the grain that was threshed, or the grain that was planted in the plowing that was done, remains mutter, which we learned in turn from a Kavachomer from Shabbos. According to Tosfos, we're talking about the actual animal itself remains mutter, even though an Aveda was done with it. So it's not a valid thing to say that because an Aveda was done with something that, like Basa B'Cholov, therefore it should be also to eat. Because we see, to the contrary, that on the one hand, you have Orla, no Aveda was done, and it's also to eat. On the other hand, with Chos and Pipara, and Chodesh B'Sher V'Hamar, an Aveda was done, and it's also mutter to eat. So therefore, that wouldn't be a valid Kavachomer, and therefore we need the Gzeira Shava.
We would need the
Gzeira Shava. We do need the Gzeira Shava, therefore, because we don't have...
But aren't we not using it in the end?
Okay, we're going to get to you now. The next question is, Loma Lila Mema Kalaya Kedem Yechichu. Now let's go to the second part. So we said, how do we know it's also Bahana? We started by trying to learn from Orla. We said, Orla doesn't work. No Aveira was done. So we said, okay, Chometz for Pesach. We said, Chometz for Pesach is no good because it's Koris. And then instead of saying, okay, but let's take Orla and Chometz and Pesach together, instead we're bringing in a third thing. We're saying Kalaya Kerem Yechichu. The question is, why do we need to bring in the third thing of Kalaya Kerem? Lema Orla Techiach, let's just say we'll go back to Orla. In other words, as we often have in Shas, that we're going to try to prove from Orla, you say you can't because no Aveda was done. You're going to try to prove from Chometz or Pesach, you're going to say that doesn't work because it's Onesh Koris. So go back to Orla. There's no Koris with Orla either. Lema Orla Techiach, Velehadur Dina, Velaisi, Vemassad. All you need to do is go back to Orla. Okay, Orla, there's no Koris, and yet you see that it's also Bahana. And then you go back and forth, and you have a Ma'asad. Lodi is after Ezev, Lodi is after Ezev, Sada Shavah Shabahan. They're both also Bahana. So therefore, we can also bring in Basa B'Cholav. Why do we need to bring in Kalaya Kerem? Why can't we do a Ma'asad, a Sada Shavah, between Orla and Chometz V'Pesach? And now, our Gemara over here we're going to get into some basic rules that apply how the mechanism of Kavachomer works. We know as a commonplace thing in Shas that when you have a Kavachomer, you can slug it up with a Pircha. But a Pircha can be what we're going to deal with in our sugya over here is there's two kinds of Pirchas. There's one pircha where you're attacking the logical basis of the Kavachomer, which we've had in previous parts of our sugya, in the last couple of blocks in our parak. We had cases where you're attacking the initial assumption of the Kavachomer. You're thinking that this particular thing is more chomer, but really in a certain sense it's more kal.
It has a fad kal to it.
Right. That was me'ikr the din of pircha. That was we slugged up the Kavachomer at its root. Then we had another example where we had the example with pre and aim, where we didn't slug up the basis of the Kavachomer, but we slugged up the inference from it, what we're trying to infer from it, because we said we have other cases where pre with pre is more chomer than pre with aim.
That's different
because you're not, when you're slugging up the initial Kavachomer, means, for example, you're trying to say,
what was Carl is not really
what you're saying is not really Carl because it's really Carl. Now that was, for example, when we were talking about aim versus ochis, for Zachoy Tegdola, for example. There we were slugging it up from the beginning. Then we had where, for example, you're not slugging up the beginning of it. It's valid to say that pre with aim has a certain chumrah, which pre with pre doesn't. On the other hand, you find a different chumrah with pre. So therefore, in other words, it's not that the chomer is really the cow, but you're saying, on the other hand, you want to argue that the result of that is we should apply something else to the cow, but we can't do that because we find that that cow sometimes is equally as chomer. So that's not attacking the basis of the kal v'chomer, but it's attacking the outcome of it. Both of those things are called a pircha. Now, all of those.
I don't understand this.
Okay, the difference is. Okay,
is
let's
there
go.
A Rashi on that?
Well, there are. There are many Rashis actually on the sugya, which we're going to do. Which we're going to deal with. We're going to learn some of them inside. That's the shem. But for example, let's go back a second to Kufir Dal and Omer Aleph.
Yeah.
We started by saying we tried to say that how do we know that Chalev Imoid applies not only to the milk of the same species but also the milk of a para or a rochel. So we started by saying that we make a kal v'chomer. The mother, you're allowed to crossbreed the mother or the min of the mother. You're allowed to crossbreed with the baby. You're allowed to breed with the baby. And yet, it's also to cook together with. So para or rochel, which are a different species, and you're not allowed to breed them together. How much more so it should be also to cook them. But then we attack that kal v'chomer at the root, me'ikud, the din of pircha, because we said, on the other hand, imai has a much bigger chumra because oseves b'nai, which doesn't apply to para and rochel. So the cow is really a chumra after all, right? So that's slugging it up at the root.
Okay.
Then we had later on in the sugya, we had an example where we're not slugging it up at the root, but we're slugging it up further down the line.
Okay.
We said that when we were talking about how we know that you're not allowed to cook the animal in its own milk and eat it. So we started by saying that we find that you're allowed to shecht pre together with pre, but you're not allowed to, because you're allowed to shecht a brother and sister animal or two brother animals or whatever on the same day, but you're not allowed to shecht the baby animal with the mother on the same day. So pre with aim is also. So then when you're also to cook pre with pre, you're not allowed to cook an animal with its sibling's milk. How much more so you shouldn't be allowed to cook it in its own milk, where it itself is the mother of its milk, basically, because the pre came out of its own body. So then we said that the problem with that is, fine, we're not attacking the root of the kal v'chomer. It is perfectly true that you're not allowed to shecht the pre with the aim, and you are allowed to shecht the pre with the pre. So that part of the kal v'chomer is intact. The kal is that you're allowed to shecht pre with pre.
So there's no sad chomer to that.
Right. But
siblings, there's no sad chomer. There's no rule that says you can't check the sibling
right.
without it.
Right. But on the other hand, later on we find a different chomra, a different sad chomer in pre with pre, namely when it comes to breeding them, that you're not allowed to, there are cases where you can't breed pre with pre. For example,
it's a sad chomer,
but it's a different kind. Yeah, but
it's a different kind.
It's a different kind
because it's not the actual cow.
It's a different cow. Right.
Sister cow.
It's a side cow, exactly.
Or a side
okay,
cow.
So all of that is basically one kind of pircha.
This cow would imply that cow, yes. Which would have a chomer.
Yes.
Instead of this cow does have a chomer.
Okay. So now all of that is one kind of pircha, one kind of way of schlugging up a kal v'chomer, which is a real pircha, kula v'chomer parchina, and that we're arguing there's a kal or there's a chomer that you haven't been taking into consideration. Then there's another kind of pircha, which the Gemara uses sometimes, called a pircha kol derhu. Not a pircha in the sense that there's no kal or no chomer involved, but there is some characteristic that the things that you're trying to learn from have in common, which you could argue something else does not have in common. That kind of thing is called a pircha kol derhu. So now we're going to be using those in our sugya. So the point is that, so again, the question is why we need both, why we need all three, Orla and Chometz Pesach and Talaya Kerem. Why can't we just do a Tzad HaShava between Orla and Chometz Pesach? Omer Rav Ashi, Mishum De'ikol Meimer, because you could slug up that Kal V'chomer by arguing like this, Nevela Techiach Sha'asura Ba'achilo Umotor Umotera Sa'ana, because you could prove to the contrary from Nevela. Where Nevela, you're not allowed to eat it, and it's Mutter Ba'ana, so you could say not everything that's also Ba'achila is Mutter, not everything that's also Ba'achila is also Ba'ana.
Again.
Hello. The answer is Rav Ashi is saying the reason why it wouldn't be good enough to only have Orla and to only have Orla and Chometz Pesach is because you uh, because you can argue Orla and Chometz of Pesach both have this in common. Fine, one of them has Torah, the other one doesn't. One of them didn't have a Shachar Kosher, the other one did. But nevertheless, we could argue Nevela Teshiach, because Nevela is also Ba'achila and Mutar Ba'anah. So therefore, we have an example of something which is also Ba'achila and Mutar Ba'anah. So Basa B'Cholot could be like that.
Okay.
But
so what we did was, in the Sad Shabbat, we're fine.
Yeah.
So it's basically a Kal V'Chomer until we figure out that
so we have a different example.
Nevela exists.
Right.
And because Nevela exists, by the very fact that Nevela exists,
right,
this Kal V'Chomer would have to cover everything that's Aser B'Achila.
Well, one second.
And since Nevela exists, there must be something. We don't know what it is, but there must
be something. However, Omer Leir of Mordechai, Leir of Ashi, however, if Mordechai tells Rav Ashi, that's not a valid way of shlugging up a Kal V'Chomer. Hachi Amrinin Meshmeder Rishlokish, because we say in the name of Rishlokish as follows, that proving from Nevela is not a valid contradiction, because Kol Mahasad, because when you're learning a Kal V'Chomer from two things that have a Sada Shava, remember over here, we're not learning only from Orla or only from Chometz of Pesach. We have, because we're saying Orla has a feature of its own that it had no Shata Kosher. Chometz of Pesach has a feature of its own that is Chayav Koris. So you need a Mahasad, you need a Sada Shava, that both of them are also Ba'achila and also Ba'anah, and therefore the same should be true of both of the Cholov. The problem with that is, Rabbi Mordechai says, look, that when you have a mahasad, migufoy parchinan me almaloy parchinan. The only valid way to slog up a mahasad is if you show that those two things themselves have something else that they have in common, which you're not taking into consideration.
Where are we?
We're on Kufta 12 on base. We're started 15 minutes.
So why did Nevela?
Yes, we started at 8:15, as we always do. Okay.
Why did Nevela not accomplish this goal?
Because Nevela is a side thing. One second. Because Nevela is a side thing. We're saying the only way to shlug up a Mahasad would be if you could show that Orla and Chometz of Pesach themselves have something in common which you haven't taken into consideration, which doesn't apply to Basa B'Cholot.
Okay. I really want to ask this question.
Okay.
I hope you don't mind.
All right.
If I have a Kal V'Chomer and I say, I have a Kal and then you have a Chomer. And then I have a Chomer, and so that implies that your thing is Usher.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you say, well, I have something very similar. It won't work.
That works if you have – one second. We're going to talk about in our Sylvia over here. There's a difference how many different sources you're learning from. There's a difference –
if you're learning from two sources
– One second.
Yeah.
If – that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You have many Rashis on this Sylvia, which we're going to learn some of them inside, because this is an important topic about the way that Kal V'Chomer and Sada Shavas work. So we're going to learn some of these Rashis inside to clarify the picture. In fact, the Shalah Kodesh, at the beginning of the section, there's a Shalah, stands for Shnei Luch Sabrit, you know, and its Sefer is divided into two major parts. Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebal Peh. At the beginning of the Torah Shebal Peh part, he deals with the Yud Gimel Midas Chatur and the Yesh Hashem in great detail, and of course the first one of Kal V'Chomer. And in the course of that, he has an analysis of our Gemara, including this whole matter of how Kal V'Chomer works. And he and in that connection, he quotes a large chunk of our Gemara and a large chunk of the Rashi's, because he says it's important, because you have fundamental concepts in them of how the whole thing works, how Kal V'Chomer works, and how Sada Shavah works.
We're in the beginning of creation here.
So one thing we have to realize, which we're going to see as we go through our sugya, is there's a difference how many things you're learning the Kal V'Chomer from.
So it's stronger.
If you're learning from one thing versus you're learning from two things versus you're learning from three things. If you're learning from one thing, then you need an actual strong pircha.
Uh-huh.
If you're learning from two things, from a ma'asad between two things, then you need davka migufoy. You need to slug it up by pointing to something else that those two things themselves have in common, and that's the third thing that you want to learn from them does not. If you're learning from three things, as we're going to discuss, then it depends whether you have a ma'asad or not. Depends whether you're learning from a Sada Shava or not. So these are topics that we're going to deal with as we go through the sugya, and we'll also talk about why that should be so. But wait, let's hold on.
So, to summarize, The veil of wood.
One second. You know what? Why don't we learn inside?
We're gonna get
we're
all
gonna...
the stuff.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay. So again, we tried to say that we've tried to make a Kal V'Chomer that if Orla that no Aveira was done by planting it is also Bahana, how much more so Basa B'Cholav where there was an Aveira in it. We said that doesn't work, Orla doesn't have a Shaka Kosher, whereas Basa B'Cholav did. So we said we'll prove from Chometz of Pesach. Chometz of Pesach doesn't work because it's Onesh Koris. So we said instead of going back to Orla, which also doesn't have Koris, instead we brought in Kalaya Kedem. The question is why? So Rav Ashi wanted to say the reason is because if you only had Orla and Chometz of Pesach, you would argue that you could counter-argue from Nevela, because Nevela is a case where something is Mutar Hanah. So therefore we see not necessarily does Isra Achila imply Isra Hanah. But here's where we're holding, second line of the wide line. This is what we say in the name of Rish Lakish. It doesn't work that way. Kol Mahatzad, when you're learning something from a Mahatzad, which is another name for a Tzad HaShava, when you're arguing that Orla and Chometz of Pesach have something in common, namely they're both also not only Ba'achila but also Ba'anah, and you're trying to extend that to other things, Migufoy Parchinan, if you want to slog up that Mahatzad HaShava, you need something that applies within those two things themselves. You need something that you have to find. If you can find some other common factor that those two things have, even if it's not a strong pircha, even if it's only a pircha kol derhu, even if it's only just, for example, that they both have in common, as the Gemara is going to mention later, that they're gidulei karka, that they both grow from the ground, whereas Basa B'Cholav doesn't, that would be good enough to slug it up. But you can't bring in an outside thing like nevela and slug it up. It doesn't work. Therefore, so you're telling me that we're telling you that because Nevela exists, therefore that would be reason enough to slug up the Mahasad. It doesn't work that way, says Rav Mordechai.
Well, Rav Mordechai would agree that Nevela would work if it was a straight.
If it was a single, right.
Amazing.
Yeah,
this is amazing.
Okay.
I never knew this.
Okay.
Incredible.
So the question is, Yehochi Taisi B'Mahasad. Okay, so in that case, indeed, let's learn it. We're back to the question. Let's learn it from a Tzad HaShava. Again, why do we need to bring in Kalaya Kerem? Why didn't we just use Orla and Chometz of Pesach, and we're good? The answer is, Mishum De'ikol Mifrach Mala Tzad HaShava Shebehen Shekhen Gedulei Karka. Because you could argue that Orla and Chometz of Pesach both have this in common, that they both grow from the ground. Orla is a tree. Chometz of Pesach is grain. They both grow from the ground. Whereas Basa B'Cholav does not. It comes from an animal. You have to wait 3 years, yeah. But the point is, what do you mean Orla? Orla is the fruit of a tree the first 3 years you planted. It is also Ba'achila and also Ba'ana.
I heard the question, and
when
we make a copy, you put a multiple to the white piece.
Okay, we're not getting into the dinim of Orla in detail now. That's for another time. The point remains that when you plant a tree, the Torah tells us, "Va'araltem or lasa es piriyah shalosh shanim yelacham areilam lo yachol." So, however you define exactly when you consider it planted and when you consider when the 3 years begin and end, those are topics for other studies. Right now, it's enough for us to know that there exists the concept of orla. Yeah, it means that anything that grows during those 3 years is also ba'achila and also ba'ana. Okay, you have a difference in chutzlar if it's only if you know it's orla, not enough, but whatever. Those are details that we're not going to get into right now.
Okay, the point is
that they're both gedulei karka. Now, that's not a pircha that has to do with a kula or a chumra, per se. You can't say there's a kula in that they grow from the ground or there's a chumra in that they grow from the ground. But when we're learning from a mahatzad between two things, it's enough to have even a pircha kol derhu.
A pircha kol derhu is that because it's gedulei karka.
Because they're gedulei karka, maybe that's
the whole reason
why
this. You can't tell me from there to here.
So the question is, Ihochi, so how does it help to bring in Kalaya Kerem? Hashtanami Ikalamifrach. Now, even if you bring in Kalaya Kerem, that also grows from the ground. You can also slog up the same thing. Ikalamifrach, Malak Kalaya Kerem, Shekhen Gedulei Karka. You're back to the same problem. So all three of them, Orla and Chomash Pesach and Kalaya Kerem, are all Gedulei Karka. So you could argue, therefore, it's different than Basa B'Cholav. And again, Omalei Rav Mordechai, Rav Ashi, to Rav Mordechai again comes in and explains to Rav Ashi, Hachi Aminin Mishmei de Rish Lakish. We say as follows in the name of Rish Lakish. Here's another rule of the way Kal V'Chomer and Tzad HaShavas work. Kol Mahatzad Parchinen Kol Dehu. Whenever you're learning something from a Mahatzad, from a Tzad HaShavas, you can use a pir, even a pircha kol dehu. You can use even a pircha that's not a real objection. In other words, something that involves a kula or a chumra in the things that you're learning from. Like, you can just use the fact that that's gedulei karka. As long as you can find that they have in common the gedulei karka, that would be reason enough to shlug it up. So therefore, what we have to learn is like this. So therefore, if we were going to learn from a tzada shava, if you were going to go back and forth between them and say, yeah, but whichever one you pick has something that the other two don't. For example, Orla had no shaka kosher, chometz of Pesach has kores. If we're going to end up having to do a mahasad, then you're right. Then we would be able to shlug up. Then we would be able to shlug up with a pircha kol dehu. And therefore, we would say like this: loy imamarta. But no, if you're going to argue, okay, chada mechada, take out of here. Loy imamarta kavachomer parchinan kol dehu loy parchinan. But when you're not doing a tzada shavah, if you're not doing a tzada shava, if you're doing where there's an actual kula or chumra in one versus the other, for example, Orla has a chumra because it didn't have a shata kosher. That's not a kol dehu anymore. Now we're not talking tzada shava anymore because Orla has that uniquely that it doesn't have shata kosher. Chometz of Pesach has that uniquely that it's also that there's a chiyuv karis. Once you're doing that, then kavachomer parchinan kol dehu loy parchinan. Then you can only shlug it up by pointing out a kula or a chumra in the other. You can't use any more of a pircha kol dehu.
You lost me.
Okay, so you know what? Let's learn some of the rashis inside, and then this will become a little clearer. Okay, let's start with the rashi. Lomalei lemeimar about 2/3 of the way down the narrow lines in rashi.
Oh, okay.
Okay. The question is, the Gemara started off is, why do we need to say before that Kilayim, we're going to prove from Kilayim? In other words, again, we said we tried to prove from Orla, didn't work. We tried to prove from Chometz of Pesach, didn't work. And we brought in Kilayakerem. Why do we need Kilayakerem? The Itzdur Chalela Aduria Kilayim. Why did he have to go looking for Kilayim? The Havale Lomid Chodem Itzlas. Because then, in other words, what you're trying to do is learn one thing from three sources. Basa b'cholav, you're trying to learn me'orla v'chomet v'kilayim. Why do you need the combination of all three? Lema orla techiach. Let him just say orla will prove it alone. V'taisi chodem mitaisi shafir. And then in other words, don't bring in kilayim. Just say, you can't learn from orla by itself because it didn't have shaka kosher. You can't learn from chometz or pesach by itself because it has kores. Go back to orla. Orla doesn't have kores. And yet you see, so you have it. What's the tzada shava? That they're both also ba'achila and also ba'ana. So that was the question. And then the lahadur din, and we'll go back and forth, meaning shiyachu adin, we're going to go back, mala orla shekein lahoyt lo shata kosher, you're going to answer chometz yechiach. Because chometz did have a shata kosher. You're going to say mal chometz chicken kardes. You're going to say orla techiyah. V'gam minin o ma'asinin lo b'ma'asad. And you're going to end up learning it from a ma'asad. When lo ri'i orla kiri chometz, lo ri'i chometz kiri orla. Orla and chometz each have their own unique kula and their own unique chumra. Asad ha'shava shaman sh'asurin ba'achila ba'asurin ba'ana. Af ani ovi bas b'cholav. Dehoy ova os ba'achila. And we know it's os ba'achila m'gzeir shava. From the gzeir shava that we said before, that Isi ben Yehuda said, am kardesh asa and ba'an shakardesh kiyumi. Therefore, Yehi Osaba Afana. So that was the question. So Rav Mordechai informs Rav Ashi when Rav Ashi wanted to say, because you have Nevela, Hachi Aminin Meshmei the Rish Lakish. So Rav Mordechai tells him, no, we say in the name of Rish Lakish, that doesn't work because Hai Nevela Techiach Ainet Shuva. When you say we're going to slug it up based on the concept, based on the existence of Nevela, that's not a valid answer. Because when you're learning something from a ma'asad, from a tzad ha'shava, the only way to shlug it up is by finding some other factor that those two things have in common.
Which is not the case.
Which is not the case here. Shaken kach, you could answer. You could say, for example, Orla and Chometz of Pesach have these two things in common. One time, that's we're going to say later. If they work on the ground, that parchinan, that kind of thing, we can ask. Alma, but to bring in a side thing, because there's plenty of yechiyah. But to say, on the other hand, you have an avela, that's loy parchinan. We can't slog up a ma'atzad ha'shava like that. Okay, so then we said the problem is that. We said that Orla and Chometz of Pesach shekein gedulei karka. Now, Af Agav, here's the key thing. Af Agav de in Chomer, li'es nesorin b'kach, even though there's no particular chumrah in them growing from the ground, nevertheless, afilo hachi amina, nevertheless, we can say that that is a valid pircha.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is, kol ma'atzad, parchinin kol derhu. Kol dover halomet ba'atzad ha-shava, whenever you're learning something from atzad ha-shava, v'yesh lahoshiv shum dover shamalamdin shavin boi, ba'alomedein ha-shavalan boi, you can find any kind of, even if it's a seemingly irrelevant detail that the malamdim have and the lomed does not have, for example, here where the gedulei karka and basa b'cholav is not, afilu she'ena loy kal v'loy chomer, there's no particular chomer or kola in it growing from the ground or not growing from the ground, nevertheless, parchim and loy. Okay, so then the question is, how does it help have kalaya kerem? It's also gedulei karka. And the answer, this is where we were stuck. So now the answer is like this. Loy imamau t'cholav. So here, e have a hoder dina v'osi b'mahatzad, if we were now going to say, once we brought in kalaya kerem, if we were going to say, okay, well, let's consider, Orla, Chometz v'Pesach, and Kalaya Kerem each have their own unique feature, and yet we're saying, what do they all have in common? Is there also b'achila and also b'anah? If we were going to do that, have a parchin and kol derhu, then indeed,
right,
even a pircha kol derhu would be enough. Aval hashta de osin kilayim, but now you're trying to learn it from kilayim. Va'ata bala hoshiv, and you're coming to refute that by arguing loyim amarta be kilayim she'en gedula kauka, and
wait,
you're going to argue.
Wait, stop right there.
Yeah.
Hashta
the
osin
kilayim.
Now how are we learning it from kilayim? We're learning all from all three of them, aren't we?
Well, because kilayim. What? Because the point is kilaya kerem doesn't have any feature that the other ones don't have. It doesn't have chorus like chometz or pesach. At this point, we don't know yet whether it had a shapa kosher.
Oh, we're back to a single kal v'chomer.
Sort of.
What you're saying?
Well, sort of. I mean, eventually we are learning from all three. But
hold on. So, if it's a single kal v'chomer, then we do have the nevela pircha.
Okay. So then right. So we're not only learning from Kalayim, but we are also learning. We're actually.
Oh, so what we're doing is we're kind of jerry-rigging the whole thing.
Yeah, we're
saying we need the Sada Shabbat so we can't have Nevela dual Pircha. And we need.
So Abba Hashta does also.
But Kali Kerem is Kedulei Karka, so we have to say that.
Yeah, yeah. But the fact that Kalaya Kerem is Kedulei Karka is not a problem is because, like this, now we're learning, when he says the Osimi Kalayim, he means not only from Kalayim, because you're right, we can't only learn from Kalayim. We still need Orla, and we still need Chometz v'Pesach.
Okay.
Now that we have all three of them, and we're not learning from Atzad HaShava, because we're not saying that. We're not saying yes. Atzad HaShava, again, would be v'chozer adin, loyri izetri izet, would be that each one of the three has something unique the other ones don't have. Orla has something unique, fine, loyri salah shaka kosher. Chometz v'Pesach has something unique because Taurus. Kalaya Kerem doesn't have anything unique about it. So we're not doing Atzad HaShava. So one second, va'aval hashda da'otmi kalayim, va'ata bala hoshiv. So you're trying to slog up loyim amar to the kalayim she'en kishkin gedulei karka. You're going to say, wait a minute, the kalayim is only gedulei karka. So how does that?
One second.
Ein zu tshuva. That is not a valid refutation. From the middle of the Rashi, here we're in the middle of the wide lines in Rashi now. Ein zu tshuva gekula v'chumra parchinan. Because when it comes to, when you're learning from three things and you don't have a Tzad HaShava, you can only slug it up using a Kula or a Chumra. Im Anu Tzrichim Lumed Kula, if you're trying to learn a Kula from the three things combined, Yesh Lacha L'Hashiv, then it is a valid thing to say, Loyim Amarta Bezeh Shekein Yesh B'Tzad Kal Acha. Then you can argue, yes, but that particular thing has a different Tzad Kal. Im Anu Loyim Nim Chomer, and if you're trying to learn out of Chumra, as we're trying to do over here, because we're trying to learn that it's also Ba'anah, At Tzorech Atta L'Hashiv Loyim Amarta Bezeh Shekein Yesh B'Tzad Chomer, to goin hani damunim la'il, as we have with these things that we tried before, that Orla has a chumra, mala Orla shekein la'hoitz la'shata kosha, which is a chumra, ukugan chometz v'pesach shei shav n'loyim amartu b'chometz v'pesach shekein karis, av a kol derhu ki hai, but to slug up using a pircha kol derhu, something that's neither a kula nor a chumra, just something that they happen to have in common, like this, shekein gedulei karka, lav pirchahi, when you're learning from three things without a tzad HaShava, that is not a valid way of doing it.
Okay.
From two it is, from three it's not.
I agree with that. But
okay.
Why is three not a Tzad HaShava?
That's what, because three would be a Tzad HaShava if we were saying, wait a second, you can't learn from Orla because Lo Yehi Tzad HaShava Kosher. So you're going to say Chometz v'Pesach Yichyah. You're going to say Chometz v'Pesach has Chorus. So if you were to find something that, if you were to find something else that does have a Shasa Kosher and is not Chai of Chorus, then we would be learning a Tzad HaShava. But we didn't do that. We didn't mention that Kalaya Kerem does or doesn't have anything in common with the other ones. We're just saying, in other words, we're not, again.
The way I was seeing it was like this.
One second. Let him explain. I'm asking a question. Yeah, I understand, but let me try to explain.
I'll ask you afterwards.
Okay, let me try to explain. A tzada shava would be, again, if we were to say, you're arguing that Orla has a certain chumra, so you can't learn a different chumra from it. So you would answer that, yes, but Chumash to Pesach doesn't have that chumra, and yet it's also b'hana. So you would say, yes, but Chumash to Pesach has a different chumra. So if I were to find something else that doesn't have either of those chumras, and then we would say, okay, so we're learning, so then we're learning a tzada shava. Then we're saying each one, and then if we were to say, yes, but that third thing has a different chumra that neither of the other two do, then we would be doing a tzada shava. Then we would be saying, Orla has a chumra of its own, loy hoitza lo shafa kosher, Chometz Pesach has a chumra of its own, koris, Kalaya Kerem, if it has some chumra of its own that neither of the two share, then we would say we need a tzada shava. Okay, each one has its own unique chumra, but obviously those unique chumras are not the reason for the din, because it applies even by the other ones that don't have it. What do they all have in common? A tzada shava shemhem that there will also be achila and also be hana. But we're not doing that, because we didn't say that, wait a second, we didn't say ma'ala kalaya kerem because it has such and such a chumra. So therefore, we're not learning from a tzada shava. We're learning just from the fact that we have three things without considering their kolos and chumras, that the three of them are also ba'achila and also ba'hamra. Therefore, the only way to shlug that up would be if we could find an actual chumra that applies to the three of them, which does not apply to basa b'chalav. Only then could we shlug it up. To say that because the three of them are gedulei karka, it doesn't work. If we were doing a mahatzad, if we were going to say that Orla has a chumra of its own, Chometz has a chumra of its own, Kalaya Kerem has a chumra of its own, then we could say, yes, but on the other hand, each one of them is also Gedulei Karka, and that would be enough to throw out the Kal V'Chomer. But because we don't have that, because we're not saying that Kalaya Kerem has any unique chumra of its own that the other two don't, therefore we can only shlug it up if we found a common chumra among the three of them. So it's a subtle point, but it's an important point. So again, if we're learning from one thing, then to shlug it up, you need an actual pircha. You need a pircha involving a kula or a chumra. It can be, like we said before, you can be shlugging up the kal v'chomer at its root, like we did with Imai versus Para and Rachel. We could be shlugging it up at the outcome, like we did with pre versus pre with aim. We'd need something like that. It wouldn't be good enough to say, yes, but the original thing you're learning from, let's say, is Gedulei Karka, and the one you're trying to learn to is not Gedulei Karka. That wouldn't work. You need a solid pircha. Mm-hmm. When you're learning from two things by a tzada shava, or actually, when you're learning from two things, it doesn't really matter whether they have a tzada shava or not. Either way, a pircha kol dehu is enough. Mm-hmm. When you're learning from three things, then it depends whether you're learning from a tzada shava or not. If you're learning from a tzada shava, a pircha kol dehu would work. If you're learning without a tzada shava, which is what we're doing over here, because there's no tzada shava, we weren't arguing that there's a tzada shava between Orla and Chometz and Kalaya Kerem, then we need a solid pircha. Then we need a pircha that involves a kula or a chumra, and we don't have that, and therefore, not kol dehu. That is why bringing in Kalaya Kerem helps us, because without Kalaya Kerem, we would only have Chometz or Pesach and Orla, and those two, We're trying to do with them a tzada shava that you could slog up by pointing out that they're both gedulei karka. But once you bring in kalaya kerem and that you're not using the kalaya kerem to extend the tzada shava, then you can only slog it up using a kula or using a chumra, and we don't have a chumra here. We don't have a chumra here that we can argue applies uniquely to them that doesn't apply to both of us.
Like a super kala chumra.
Sort of. Yeah.
So what we did was we have a tzada shava, and then we said that's not enough. So we're bringing in another
Kal V'Chomer. So not another Kal V'Chomer. We're bringing in a third item, but we're not adding it to the tzada shava. That's the key thing. We're bringing in a third item, Kalaya Kerem, but we're not adding it to the tzada shava. We're just saying that now we have three melamdim that can teach us the one law.
The tzada shava would be to say that they're both equal in most of...
Tzada shava would have to be if we were to say that each of these three melamdim has some unique chumra in it that doesn't apply to the other two. When we did that with Orla and Chometz Pesach, we did. Orla had a chumra of its own, no shata kosher. comes to Pesach had a chumrah of its own chorus, Kalaya Kerem does not. Therefore,
we have had triple Tzavah Shabbos.
Yes.
I don't remember where.
But and in that case, you can slug them up with a pair of Kolderhu. Yeah. Or Gemara over here, by the way, this piece of Gemara over here, along with a couple of other similar Gemaras in Kedushin and some other places, you have a vast amount of ink that has been spilled about it by the Rishonim and the Achronim, analyzing exactly how the mechanisms of Kal V'Chomer and Tzad HaShoveh and Pirchos work.
So basically, we're not cheating, we just got something stronger.
Yes.
Tzad HaShoveh is a type of Kal V'Chomer?
Tzad HaShoveh is sort of a type of Kal V'Chomer, yes. It's an outgrowth of a Kal V'Chomer. We're saying you can't learn from only one thing because it has a different chumrah, so you can say that's why it has the chumrah that's under discussion. So you're learning from two different things which each have their own chumrah, and yet you're saying that this other chumrah applies to them, and therefore we're saying we can learn to a third thing. But again, we can slug that up with a pircha kolder, such as that they're both gedulei chazan.
Oh boy, we better move.
If you have two, then you base your Tzad HaShoveh, and then you bring a third.
So it depends whether you're joining that third one to the Tzad HaShoveh or not. If we were to argue, yes, but Kalaya Kerem has a Chumrah of its own that doesn't apply to Orla and doesn't apply to Chometz Pesach, it would mean we have one big Tzad HaShoveh across all the three of them, then we could slog that up for the Pircha Kolderu. We could argue all three of them are gedulei chazan. Because we're not adding it to the Tzad HaShoveh, therefore it strengthens it, and therefore we're able to, therefore we need a pircha involving a chumra.
So it comes as a regular kavachomer.
In that sense, yeah. Okay. So let's go on. Veliferich lekulu. So the question is still, why don't we slug it up? Ultimately, though, you're learning one from the three, but why don't you? Yeah, no. Now we're back to the Gemara. Veliferich lekulu. So why don't we slug up all three of them? In other words, at this point, the Machshon didn't quite understand what the point was. The Machshon and the Gemara over here is not quite understanding the point that when you're learning from three things, that there should be a difference whether you have a ma'asad or not. He thinks that even if you're learning from three things, you can have a pircha kolderu.
Okay.
You could argue malakul shekain gedulei chazan. Ela omalei Rav Mordechai le Rav Ashi. To Rav Mordechai clarify to Rav Ashi. Hachir aminim b'shmei der shlokish. Choda mechoda. If you're learning one thing from one thing. The Machshon is, it could have been Rav Ashi, or it could have been just the Talmud of Gemara.
Okay, so why is Mordechai talking to Rav Ashi?
Because Rav Ashi is the Rosh Hashiva, and Rav Ashi is the one who first brought up the issue.
And Rav Ashi is a very big time if he's talking to Rav Ashi.
I guess that. Okay. The rules are as follows. Choda mechoda, if you're learning one thing by a Kal V'Chomer for one thing, for example, we started out trying to learn only from Orla, where Orla, there was no Aveira done with it, and yet it's also Bana, and it's also Basa B'Cholav. If you're going to do that, Kula B'Chomra Parchinan, then you can only slug that up using something that involves a Kula or a Chomra, not a Pircha Kolderu, Kolderu like Parchinan. You cannot use a Pircha Kolderu. You can't say, yes, but Orla is Gedulei Karka and Basa B'Cholav is not. That wouldn't work.
That's just a difference.
A Pircha means a way of disproving the Kal V'Chomer.
By a difference.
Right. So you need a kula v'chumra in this case. For example, how do we slog up that Kal V'Chomer? Not by saying Orla is gedulei karka, because that's irrelevant to our discussion. Rather, we slog it up by saying, yes, but Orla didn't have a shata kosher, whereas Basa B'Cholav does. Chada mitarti, but if you're learning one thing from two, for example, we tried to learn from the combination of Orla and Chometz Pesach, then afilu kolderhu parchinan, then you can slug up even with a pircha kolderhu. You don't even need to show that the two of them have some common chumra or some common kola. It's enough to show that they have some other common characteristic. For example, they're both gedulei karka. Therefore, it's not enough. Therefore, we're not yet out of the woods there.
Two, the rules are less stringent.
Right. And, well, therefore, it means you have less of a chance of making a Kal V'Chomer in that case. Choda mitzvah, and when you're learning one thing from
less
three.
And more.
Well, yeah, okay. When you're learning one thing from three, like over here, you're trying to learn from Orla and Chometz and Kalaya Kerem, then it depends. Be choda din of osi b'mahasad. If you're going to go round and round in a cycle and say each one has a chumra of its own that the other two do not have, and yet they all have a certain din and therefore you should apply it
then
to something else, then, one second, then you can slug it up, pachin and kolderu. Then you're able to slug that up even with a pircha kolderu, for example, by saying that they're all gedulei karka.
Yes.
eloi, but if you're not using a mahatzad, which is true in this case, because we did not say that kalaya kerem has a chumra of its own, the other two don't have, then kolom chumra parchinen, kol deru loy parchinen. Then you can only shlug it up with a kolo chumra, not with a pircha kol deru. So that's what we accomplished. That's what Isi ben Yehuda accomplished by bringing in kalaya kerem. Because now he converted it from something that we're learning from two things to something that we're learning from three things without a mahasad. And three things without a mahasad is similar to one in that you need a kula or a chumra to shlug it up, not just a pircha kol deru.
And it's also similar to two when the vela doesn't shlug it up.
You can shlug it up even with a pircha kol deru. You can't bring
it.
I don't know about that necessarily. Let's see. Okay, the question is, though, why do these rules work the way they do? Why is it that one is different than two and two is different than three? So Rashi says over here, basically, that's just how it is. Kacha midis mesuras b'yadeinu misinai. This is how we have the Kabbalah from Sinai, that this is the way they work, and Rish Lakish informed us of that, and Rav Mordechai informed Rav Ashi of that, and Rav Ashi wrote it down in the Gemara for us. However, you have different Rishonim and Achronim talk about logical bases. Why should it be so? So one idea is, the Ran talks about an idea, because when you have only two things, when you're learning from two things, you're using a Masad, in effect, really all you have is one proof that it should be this way. So the first one we said is not enough by itself, so now we only have one more supporting it, and one more supporting it is pretty weak. On the other hand, when you're learning from three, then you have much stronger, because you have two things supporting it. Therefore, there's more reason to say that
each one has a less of stringent proof.
That's fine, but once you have three things, once you're learning from three things, and you're not even making a tzadashava between them, which means you're not even saying.
You couldn't learn anything if you had to put a tzadashava for three things, it would be too
no,
hard.
No, if you could find a tzadashava between them. You could find a tzadashava between three things, and if you did, then you could slug it up with a weak pircha, with a pircha called a who. But because you're not making a tzadashava of it, therefore, in effect, you have two different elements over here that are supporting the original one, and two is very strong, and therefore you need a strong pircha to shlug it up. That's what the Ram says. The Shalach Kaddish gives a different idea about it. He says something along the lines, I didn't follow it quite, there was a long discussion over there, but I think the gist of it was that after all, the Torah could have only written for us, for example, the third one. If you're going to argue that ultimately we're learning from the third one, it could have written only that, and we would have learned from it. The fact that we have the other two as well, no, we could have learned from Kalaya Kerem on the face of it.
No, but I'm saying in the whole Torah, just if you had to learn from, you said three?
Here we're talking about three. But in other words, in our case over here, the Torah didn't have to tell us, for example, that Orla is also Bahanoah, and Chometz of Pesach is also Bahanoah, and Bas B'Cholov. We could have learned them on the face of it all from Kalaya Kerem, but since instead the Torah did write the other one, since altogether we have three things that the Torah wrote it by, and it's not a case of Shnei Ksuvim or Shlosha Ksuvim Abayim Techa, because each one does have, to a certain extent, unique features. Therefore, that strengthens it, and therefore that makes it that therefore that makes it that you need a strong pircha to refute it.
Aside from the fact that Nevela would have blown it.
Well, that would be. Okay.
But here we cannot use two because that's...
Because again, we said we can't use two because if we did, we could shlug it up with a pircha kol deru. We could say Orla. Pircha kol deru is that Orla and Chometz of Pesach are both gedulei karka.
As opposed to
Bas B'Cholov. Not, right. Okay. So now the question is, the lifrich, okay, but why don't we shlug it up in a different way? Let's argue mal kalaya kerem shalakein la hoysala and shata kosher. You could argue that kalaya kerem is similar to Orla in not having a shaka kosher, because we could argue that, and therefore that's a chumra in them.
And therefore, back to Tzad Shabbat.
Right. And why would we think that it doesn't have a shaka kosher? Because we would assume that when, let's say, for example, you plant grapes together with grain, we're assuming that the actual grapes, so the actual grain themselves that you plant, don't become osabana, just what grows from them. What grows from them never had a shaka kosher, because they grew beisr. The answer is Omer of Adaba Abba, Zoy Semeris. From this you can see it's not so. Kalaya Kerem, Ikra Nesa. No, as a matter of fact, Kalaya Kerem, the actual original thing, becomes Osir. The seed, once it takes root. Behoisal and Shata Kosher, Kodim Ashrosha. So therefore, there was a Shata Kosher before it took root, and therefore, so you can say
the
seed itself was kosher. Then you planted it together. Then you planted it when it as soon as it takes root, then it becomes also. That's the point. So therefore, it had the seed itself had a shaka kosher, and afterwards becomes also once it takes root. The what grows from it, the stalks and the seeds and whatever that grow from it, all become also fine.
But all the stage of the roots.
It was mutter. Yeah. Okay. Most of Rav Shmaya bar Ze'ira. However, Rav Shmaya bar Ze'ira says I have a problem with that. I have a contradiction to that because we learn in a Mishnah in Kilayim, Hamavir Otit Nokov Bekerem. If a person takes a flower pot with a hole in it that has seeds in it through a vineyard, and in general in Halacha we consider a flower pot with a hole to be equivalent to something that's attached to the ground because the seed is able, the roots are able to derive nourishment from the ground through the hole. So if you walk through a vineyard with it, im hosif masayim osir, if it grew by at least 1/200th during the time while it was in the vineyard, then it becomes osir. How you tell if it's how you tell whether it grew 1/200th, the Yerushalmi explains in Kalayim that what you do is you figure out how long does it take this particular plant to completely dry out. Then you divide that by 200 because the amount of time it takes to dry out is considered to be equivalent to the amount of time it actually spends growing. In other words, for example, you plant, let's say, wheat, and it takes 6 months to grow, but it's not actually growing the whole time. Part of the time it's growing and part of the time it's dormant. So if you add together the total amount of time it takes from when you pick it until it dries out, then that's equivalent to the amount of time it takes to grow, and therefore you divide that by 200. So you have, let's say, for example, it takes 100 hours to dry out, then a half an hour is enough for it to be hosted from outside. So in this case, if you walk through the vineyard and you took a half hour walking through, then it's going to be awesome, implying Hosif ein loy hosif loy, implying only if it grew by the 200, only then does it become osir, because then the part that grew afterwards is not bottle, only you need 200 times enough to be timi mevatelet, but implying if it didn't grow, then it's not osir. And yet you're telling me to the contrary. You're telling me that when you plant the seed over there, right away becomes osir as soon as it takes root, even if it didn't grow yet. So what is that?
Okay.
Yeah. Amar Abaya, the answer is Abaya says Trei Kroiksin. Yes, so you have two psukim in connection with Kalaya Kerem that are talking about two different cases. Like this, Ksiv pen tiktash hamaleya, or not really two psukim, but two words in the pasuk. Ksiv pen tiktash hamaleya or Ksiv hazera. The pasuk says, you're not on the plant, you're not on the plant, you're in your Kalayim. Pen tiktash hamaleya hazera. Lest they become holy, meaning also bahana tukad esh, as we said the other day, that it will have to be burnt in fire. Hamaleya hazera. Hamaleya is maloshen mole, so it means what gets filled out, in other words, what grows afterwards. Hazera implies the original seed. So what is it? So what is it that becomes also the growths that grow afterwards, which is hamaleya, or the original seed, hazera? Okay, Sad. How do you reconcile these two? The ruah meikrei bahashrasha. If you're talking about the original seed that was planted, the zera, then it becomes also immediately as soon as it takes root, because then that's the hazera. The ruah uva. If it was previously planted and then you brought it into the vineyard, hoisif ein loy hoisif loy. Then you need hamaleya. Then you need the growth, and only if it grows by one two hundredth does it become also. So there's no contradiction from that Mishnah to our case over here where you're planting Kalaya Kerem, because once you plant them, they become osir, but that means the seed itself had a shaka kosher. As opposed to when you took the plant into the vineyard, then it only becomes osir, then it only becomes, it doesn't become immediately osir when you take it into the vineyard, it only becomes osir once hoisif masayim. That hoisif masayim now becomes osir, but it's not, that hoisif masayim didn't have a shaka kosher because there was no time when that extra growth was mutter, because it became osir as soon as it grew. Now, it osirs the rest of them, it's true, but the fact that it osirs the rest is only dirabonim. Midaraisi, you would have the usual rule, that chad v'tre bottle, that you could be mevato 1 and 2. The whole concept that you need 200 times to be mevato is only dirabonim. So therefore, the new growth itself did not have a shaka kosher. The rest of it did, fine, but the rest of it remains mutter midaraisa. So the only case where you find that something had a shaka kosher and then becomes also a kalaya kerem, midaraisa would be the original seed that you planted in the vineyard. But there we go. You can have a case where kalaya kerem involves having a shaka kosher, which in that case makes it dissimilar to orla.
Which orla did not.
Which orla did not, because as soon as it started growing, it was already also. So that's that. So
the fact that we found that's called the who.
So that's the point. Once we have three things and there's no tzada shava, which we didn't, then you can't use a pirka called the who anymore. Then you need an actual chumrah. If you were to find an actual chumrah that Orla and Chometz of Pesach and Talaya Kerem share, then you could say that only those things could be also B'hanoah, Bas, B'chol, but not, because we don't have any such thing. Because there is no such thing, therefore we can't slug up that Tadashava. Therefore, Isi Ben Yehuda says there we have a valid source to say that Bas B'cholav is also B'hanoah. Okay. So that's that. So that's, we've settled Isi Ben Yehuda's Shita. So altogether we've had five or six different ways of learning that Bas B'cholav is also B'achila and also B'hanoah.
That's three things don't have.
There's no chumrah that they have in common.
Right.
They do have a kol dehu in common because they're all gedulei taka, but three things. Without a tzadashava, kol dehu is not enough.
You need a chumrah
that they all have in common.
Would you say that a chumrah is enough?
If you were to say, for example, that let's say you would have, suppose hypothetically you have that Orla and Kalaya Kerem and Chometz Pesach, suppose there was all a chiyuv kares for them, then you could say that's a chumrah, which Bas B'cholav doesn't have, but they don't, because only Chometz Pesach has kares. You would only need
the chumrah to be in Kalaya Kerem.
Well, okay.
Because then you go back to the
start. Fine. Okay. Yeah. Fine. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. The point being, we don't have a chumrah in common between the three of them. We also don't have a unique chumrah to each of the three of them, because Orla has a unique chumrah, Chometz Pesach has a unique chumrah, Kalaya Kerem does not. Therefore, we would need a pircha involving the chumrah, and we don't have that.
Thank you.
Last
time I learned this, I did not understand it as well.
Fine. Now the Gemara says, "Machnisin deloisi haytana." Okay, so all of these tannoyim and amiroyim that we've been quoting so far have all taken it as a given that Bas B'cholav is also B'hanoah, and they've all had their different limudim. How we know it? We know it from Rav Bohu. We know it from the Korban Pesach. We know it from Lo Yekodesh with Neisrael, etc., etc. Our Mishnah that says that it's also B'hanoah, which all of these tannoyim and amiroyim disagree with, is not like the following tanya. The tanya, Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, Omer Mishum Rav Shimon. By the way, Rav Shimon Plain is Rav Shimon ben Yehuda. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda was a talent of his. Bas B'cholav, also v'achila u'mot v'hanah. He says, no, Bas B'cholav, you're not allowed to eat, but you are allowed to have hanah. Which is, of course, not the halacha, but yeah. Shenema, and we know that, he says, because he uses the same Zeta Shava as... He disagrees with this concept that it's also b'hanah. He disagrees with all the limudim that we learned before. He uses the same limud as Isi ben Yehuda does, which Isi ben Yehuda used it to say that it's also b'achila, and then he used his kavachomer with the three things, mm-hmm. the chodem itlosa, to learn that it's also b'hanah. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda disagrees with that last point. He says, Shenema, ki am kodesh asa. The pasuk says over here, you're not allowed to cook Bas B'cholav because you are a holy nation. V'nema lahalan v'anche kodesh tiyunli.
Uh-huh.
The pasuk as far as Trefa says you should be a holy people and not eat Trefa. Mala halam also ba'achilo u'mutu ba'hanah. So just like Trefa is also to eat, but it's mutu ba'hanah. Afkan also ba'achilo u'mutu ba'hanah. So it is the same over here.
Could this possibly...
And that is stronger than what all the reasoning we just heard?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know, but that's he says, because since we have a Zera Shava, then that's it.
And
Zera Shava l'machta. And Zera Shava l'machta. Once you have a Zera Shava, he says it goes across the board.
Wow.
So therefore, yeah.
In general,
we have in general a concept. There is a concept that everybody agrees to called Ein Gzeira Shava L'Mechta. When you're learning a Gzeira Shava, Ein Gzeira Shava L'Mechta means that when you're learning one thing from another by Gzeira Shava, you don't just learn only one thing from it. You learn everything that applies to one, applies to the other. But so he's saying, therefore, if it applies to Tereka, that's Mutter B'Hanah, then it must be the same with Bas B'cholav. Everybody else disagrees with him on the basis of their various limudim.
Right, but the question is, can he apply it in the face of the contradictions that we just mentioned?
What contradictions? Isi ben Yehuda, for example, is learning it from the combination of the three things.
Yeah.
He would argue that you can't learn it from those things. You could argue... He would say that you don't even begin. Once you have a Gzeira Shava, then that's it. The Gzeira Shava tells you to apply whatever it says by Tzeifa to the other ones, and that's that. No Kavachomers, no Tzada Shavas can come
once you have that Tzada Shava, it tells you everything you need to know.
Gzeira Shava, meaning. Yeah, fine.
Did I say Gzeira Shava?
Yeah, you said Tzada
Shava.
Fine.
Really?
Onward. Okay. Onward. Rav Akiva Oymachayev Oyfachol. Then we said in the Mishnah that Rav Akiva said...
Is that generally accepted? Because Gzeira Shava is stronger than
Yes. Yeah, you do have machlokes in the Gemara in various places also about the mechanism of Gzeira Shava, how it works. So among others, you have the question whether it has to be mufne. You have the issue. Also, sometimes we learned in Menachos, for example, that you say dun mino mino or dun mino v'uki ba'asra. That can also factor into over here. Do we say dun mino mino that we're learning everything, or dun mino v'uki ba'asra that we're only learning one thing but we're leaving it?
So he says
dun mino mino and everybody else. Okay, we said in the Mishnah that Rabbi Akiva says it says three times in the Pasuk, Lo'sevash Gdi B'chalevi, right? And he says the three times Gdi comes to teach us not a chaya, not an oif, and not a behemoth meya. So according to Rabbi Akiva, none of those are also Doraita. Question is, Hani Ha'af Kinu L'Chedesh Shmuel. Didn't we use the three G'dis for the three Lemudim that Shmuel did? We learned back a few days ago on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis that Shmuel had said that we learn from the three G'dis, from one of them we learn that it's also that there's an issur of basar b'chalav if you cook with the meat of a nevela or you cook chalav. Another one tell us that it doesn't apply to dam. One for nevela or mesa, one to include a shlil, and one to take out behemoth meyer. So fine, behemoth meyer is the same as Rabbi Akiva, but Rabbi Akiva is also saying chaya and oif, and Shmuel was telling us we need those gdis for other purposes. The answer is kasover. Rabbi Akiva isu chal on isur. No,
right.
Because Rabbi Akiva holds that in general one isur can be chal on top of another one. You don't need a special limit for it. Therefore, according to him, chaylev umeisa leitzrichikra. So according to him, you don't need a pasuk to tell us that chaylev in chalav is isur because isur chal on isur. You don't need to tell us that one isur can be chal on top of another one, even though the chaylev is already isur to eat as chaylev, it can also become isur again as basar b'chalav. Same thing with Nevela. So you don't need a pasuk for those at all, unlike Shmuel. Again, we had actually, Rashi had mentioned two different yusoyos over there. One is that Shmuel also holds Isur Chalal Isur, but he said you have one of them teaches us Nevela and Chalab
right.
together. And then we had Rashi mentioned another yusoy, which he preferred, that Shmuel doesn't hold necessarily that Isur Chalal Isur. Anyway, Rabbi Akiva does. So therefore, you don't need a pasuk at all for Chalab and Mesa. Shlil Dimal Yahu, and he would disagree also and say you don't need a pasuk to teach us that the shlil is also as basar b'chalav because the full-fledged goat, there's no reason you need a separate pasuk for it. Therefore, Iyaktu Elohu Kulam. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva has all of them available. Prapa Chayev Elohu for the Behemoth Meir. So two of the ones that Shmuel uses, one for Nevela and Chalav, and the other one for Shlil, Rabbi Akiva says, I don't need a pasuk for those. Of course, they're wrong. Yeah, because either it's a chalal iser or it's a gdi mal yehu, or it's a bona fide, it's a full fledged. So therefore, he has all three of them available. Then we said on the mission, Rabbi Yosi Aglili Omer Nemalo Soklu. Rabbi Yosi Aglili had said that we have learned like this. Since the pasuk mentions Lo Soklu Kol Nevela, and the end of that pasuk says Lo Shavashu Gdi B'Chalevi, right? Then it means any creature that can be also as Nevela is also Midaraisa to cook or to eat with milk. And we said, why not a bird? Because the pasuk says B'Chalev Imoy, and birds don't have mother's milk. So in other words, it sounds like do you know any birds that give milk?
I don't know.
Okay, there aren't. So the question is, my Ikka ben Rabbi Yosi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva. What is the actual argument between Rabbi Yosi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva? They seem to both be saying the same thing. They both are saying that Chaya and Oif are not, they both seem to be saying at least that Oif is not also. So first of all, one answer is Ikka ben Ayochaya. One answer is the argument between them is about a Chaya. Rabbi Yosi Aglili saw the Chaya Daraisa. Rabbi Yosi Aglili says that the meat of a Chaya in milk would be also Daraisa. Because he says anything that's also Mishum Nevela and has mother's milk, namely the mammal, is also as Basar B'Chalav. Chayas are mammals, they have mother's milk. Therefore, they'd be also, and they can become, they're also as Nevela. Therefore, they'd be also according to him. But Rabbi Akiva Sava, Chayas are Rabbanan. Whereas Rabbi Akiva would hold that the Isser of meat of a Chaya in milk is only the Rabbanan because he's learning, because he has the three times Gedi and one of them is Mamayat Chaya. So that's one point of argument between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosi Aglili. It's Chaya Daraisa or Jerabam?
Rabbi Akiva learns
from the three times Gdi. And one of them excludes Chaya. Whereas Rabbi Yosi Aglili is saying that anything that can be Nevela and has mother's milk is also Daraisa. Therefore Chaya is included. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that they're arguing over oif, over the case of a bird. Rabbi Akiva saw the chayav oif in the Torah. Now, granted, Rabbi Akiva holds that chaya and oif are not awesome in the Torah. However, Hamad Rabbanon Asiri, but he does hold that they're both also Rabbanon. But Rabbi Yosef Agri would suffer oif achfilu midi Rabbanon nami lo osir. Rabbi Yosef Agri would say no. Chaya and behema are also in the Torah. Oif is not also period, not deraisa and not even derabbanon.
Because
there's no chalev aim, and unlike Rabbi Akiva and unlike the Chachamim, he does not hold that the Chachamim made a gzera on oif because you might confuse it with chayer or beim. So according to him, oif b'cholav is actually mutter. Tanya nami hachi. In fact, we learn like that in a brayta. Bimkoymei show Rabbi Eliezer how you kosten eistim lasses Chachamim lasses barzel. In Rabbi Akiva's not Rabbi Akiva, in Rabbi Eliezer's city. Now, Rabbi Eliezer holds in a number of places in Shas, including in Masechta Shabbos and in Tzachin and some other places, that when you have a mitzvah, which is Doicha Shabbos, also the machshirin of it, also the prerequisites for it are Doicha Shabbos. For example, one example is as far as Bris Milah. That Bris Milah Bizmana is Doicha Shabbos, everybody agrees to. Mice and B'chol Yom, we know all the time. Yeah. However, what happens, for example, if you don't have a knife before Shabbos? According to Rabbi Akiva, which is the halacha, okay, you can't do the bris. That's it. You have to perform it. Not Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says no. Machshirei mitzvah are also doicha Shabbos. So he would say you can actually carry a knife to there on Shabbos. And he goes even further. He says that even if the knife doesn't exist in Bechlal, you can chop down trees and use them to make charcoal and use them to forge a knife right there on the spot on Shabbos. So in Rebbe Eliezer's city, they did that. How you coast them, ate them, lost the common. They would chop down trees on Shabbos.
Also, Reb Shimon was also
we ever say Reb Shimon says no. So they would chop down trees to make charcoal, lasas barzel, Shabbos, to make an iron tool on Shabbos so they can make a bris milah. So Rabbi Eliezer held like that. So in his city, they followed his track and they did that. In other places,
they build a shul on Shabbos.
No. But in other places, it would be also to do that, because in other places, the local rav didn't hold that way. But here, in Rebbe Eliezer's city, as long as the halacha had not been established one way or the other, then they're entitled to follow him. And another example, b'mkoyma sh'rab yaseh, which is relevant to our sugya, b'mkoyma sh'rab yaseh agvili, hoy ochum b'sarei kacholav. In Rebbe Eliezer agvili's city, they would eat birds' meat with milk, because according to him, it's mutter. There is, by the way, an interesting point that a couple of the Rishonim make. Rashba talks about in a Truva, the Rivosh talks about in a Truva, that based on this. No, just in the effect of the city, the Rashbas. But the Rashba talks about in one of his Truva something like this, that therefore, if you have a place where they have the minhag, the paskin always like a certain postick, for example, in Yemen, it's a known thing, they paskin almost always like the Rambam, then fine. You have to respect what they're doing, just like we're saying over here, that they were entitled in Rabbi Eliezer's city and in Rabbi Eliezer's city, they're entitled to follow his path. He goes on to say, if you yourself are there and you know, you feel the halacha is not like them, then fine. In private, you can be machmir for yourself, but don't be machmir on them. The Rivosh has...
In public,
just don't mess
up.
I don't know if he'd have to eat it, but at least he can't tell them otherwise. Let's put it that way. And
was I here for the kachal? Did you do the kachal?
We did do. Yeah. Similar. Yeah. Also, you have the Rivosh then talks about in a tshuva a similar idea that he says. On the other hand, a rav in one place does not have the authority to compel people in another place to follow his path. The case over there involved in the Rivosh's times, there was an argument about who should be the Rav of France. One thing that got involved over there was that at that time they'd introduced the concept of smicha as we have it nowadays, that you need a Torah Torah, you need permission from a Rav to be able to be a Rav, and from another Rav to be able to pass in halacha and be a Rav. And then the Rivosh writes in his Truva, very nice, it's a valid takana for the place where Maharam, who made the takana, lived, but he doesn't have the right to force the Jews of France to follow that takana, just as we see over here. The Maharam lived, I think, in Austria or something. Not Maharam lived in Rome, this is like 100 years later, Maharam Alevi.
Oh, okay.
Whatever, the point is that he wanted to say that the Jews of France are required to follow that, and therefore they can't have a Rav who doesn't have a Torah Torah. And the Rivosh, they sent their Shiloh to the Rivosh in Spain, and he says the fact is you can't force people of one country or one region or whatever to follow the or whatever that we see from here, because we see that the Rabbanim of other places were not able to force the people of Rabbi Eliezer's city to not make iron tools on Shabbos, et cetera.
You know, on the Korban Pesach, we didn't use that. In the Perek Dalet of Sachin.
Is it talking about Perek Dalet? No, I mean, there you have an argument la halacha between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. We're not talking about halacha l'maisa. Here we're talking about halacha l'maisa. By the way, the Gemara mentions in Shabbos, in this connection, that there, in the schus of that the people in this city followed Rabbi Eliezer's fact, which they were entitled to do. In the schus of that, first of all, nobody ever died prematurely in the city. And Marashah says, because they were careful to do the bris milah bizmanai on Shabbos, therefore everybody there died bizmanai. And second of all, the Gemara says, one time the Romans made a gzera about bris milah, and this city was exempt from it. So. Nevertheless, in the end, the halacha is not for Rabbi Eliezer, but as long as they were allowed to, then yeah.
So they cut down the tree to make the knife just to prove a point, right?
Oh, yeah.
Also, did they still have to observe that halacha? Or when
they were they allowed to? The pashtus, as long as the halacha hadn't been passing otherwise, I guess not. Okay, let's finish up over here. Levi ikwa lebe Yosef Rishba, Levi, the Tana slash Amora, the Talmud of Rebbe, one time visited the house of Yosef Rishba. Rashi over here explains that Rishba means the trapper. He would set out nets to trap birds. There are other places where Rashi explains that Rishba stands for Rosh Beis Av, meaning that he was the head of an important family. Whatever it is, Levi visited his house. They brought him a peacock's head cooked in milk. He didn't tell them anything to the contrary. He didn't tell them you're not allowed to do that. He also, but he himself didn't eat it, but he didn't even tell them otherwise.
And that's the right way to do it.
One second. He also Rebbe. So when Levi came to Rebbe, the Rebbe tells him, if they're violating halacha and they're doing something that's also zirabanan, why didn't you put them in chayim? Amalei, so Levi answers him, Asked Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseru, this was Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseru's city that I was in, Va'amina, so I thought maybe Dorash Lahu Rabbi Yehuda Aglili, he may have darshan to the people of the city that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda Aglili, Da'ama Yotta Oif She'en Lechalev Aim, so on the basis of that, I couldn't put them in Chayram, again, like the Rivash is saying, because we don't, and like the Rashba is saying, we don't have the ability, even if we hold differently, that the Rashba writes in his Shuvah. You can make a Kabbalah Chaim. Madach Rebbe is the Nasi of the whole Jewish people. And yet, because Levi is telling him, maybe they're holding like Rabbi Yitzhak Levi, then we can't do anything to them. How much more so that we don't have the ability to tell people, let's say you're passing like the Rambam, you can't do that. You have to pass in like some other, like the majority of other Rishonim. So Levi himself is not going to eat it, but he couldn't force them to change their minhag because maybe it was based on what Rabbi Yosef Aglili said.
Because
Levi is saying, maybe since Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is a Talmud of Rabbi Yosef Aglili, maybe he taught them according to that. Yeah. Okay. So we'll get to the cheese making tomorrow, I guess, that's the Shem. Yeah.